From the latest hip hop beats to social issues that cripple the black community, all from the perspective of a young, strong black woman.
A strong black woman.
And now your host, Rita.
Welcome back, everyone, for another episode of According to RP on WJMS Media, powered by Black Ivy Media. It's your girl, Rita Pierre, your host. And as always, I hope you guys are striving, thriving, and surviving in these corona-infested streets. And guys, the streets are infested. I feel like over the last few days, I've discovered at least 20 people who are COVID positive. And I feel the numbers even more. They just haven't gotten their results back yet, or they have not gotten tested. It's crazy. Omicron/Omarion is really out here pop locking and dropping with everyone. And we need to be safe, guys. I really hope you guys are being safe. The good thing about this variant is that it doesn't seem to be as devastating as the others. Even the unvaccinated who have, you know, caught the virus have really just had the sniffles for the most part. So at least it appears that these variants are getting weaker and weaker, and I really hope so. I do hope that you guys had somewhat of a holiday break. Even if you don't celebrate Christmas, you know, holidays are usually a time for people to get together and, you know, just to spend quality time with family. So hopefully you guys were able to do some variation of that. Hopefully. For me personally, my Christmas was regular. It was low key. I love Christmas. I love everything about Christmas, but I'm actually not like the day of Christmas person, right? I love Christmas music. I love to go look at the lights. I just love to do the game nights, you know, drink Christmas and things like that. But I'm not actually like there is no tree in my house. I feel like I'm deceiving people with the way that I love Christmas. You would think that my home is decorated, but I don't get into it that much. But there's also a reason for that. I'm also that person who, if I do decorate my home for Christmas, the decorations will be up all year. I am not taking them down. Christmas tree will be up 365. Literally, I still have snowflakes hanging from my ceiling from, I think, Christmas of 2018. So I'm that person. So it is what it is. But either way, I hope you guys are still enjoying your holiday season. You know, it's holiday season up until January 1st. So hopefully you guys are taking some time off from work and trying to spend the quality time safely with friends and family. Guys, this is the 150th episode of According to RP. Literally 150 episodes. Would have been more, but I had to take some breaks. But it's 150 episodes, and it's a milestone for us. And I just want to take this time to thank you all for tuning in, being part of this wonderful journey that I did not think was going to last this long, if we're being honest. But thanks to all of you who have tuned in, given your feedback, have agreed to be guests on the show. Thank you to the UK family, Mint Wave Radio, that's, you know, allowed us to be on their platform and sharing the goodness of According to RP to our brothers and sisters across the pond. It's been an amazing, amazing experience, and it's only going to get better because, as I have been telling you guys for the last couple of weeks, we have finally selected our co-host, our bi-monthly, semi-monthly, however you want to say it, co-host for According to RP. I'm so excited to debut this individual on today's show. I am not going to say the name because I need you guys to keep it locked. We do not have our preliminaries today because we have such an in-depth, rich show with our new co-host. So with that being said, everyone, I hope that you guys continue having an amazing holiday season. This is the last episode of According to RP for the year of 2021, but we look forward to bringing in the heat for 2022. So again, thank you, family. Thank you for an amazing year. I love you all. And let's move on to the meat of the show. and I'm here with, I can't even say my very special guest, because he is now going to be the co-host of According to RP. So I guess, I don't know. Albin, do you want to introduce yourself?
RP Nation, what's going on? It's Albin Boucher. I'm here. Let's build. Let's figure it out. Let's do it.
So I know for weeks I've been telling you guys that we are going to be announcing the co-host on episode 150. And so many of you guys had submitted your, you know, your choice. And so the choice is here. Albin Boucher, Commissioner Boucher, he has been the selected co-host for According to RP. So Albin... Congratulations.
It's movie time. I appreciate it. Thank you so much. This is dope. I'm excited.
Let's do it. Oh, man. So I am excited because for the longest time, you know, I've been saying that I feel like I needed a co-host on the show. We tried it out before and it was great. So, you know, again, I always like to give my props up to Paul Bromley, PB. He did his thing. But then I was like, I kind of need something a little more permanent. Yeah. And I think times are changing, right? So when the times change, you got to change with the times. And so I'm so excited about this partnership and really looking forward to seeing where we can go with all of this. Mm-hmm. So, Albin, there's a lot of people who have no idea who you are because this might be the first time they're tuning in. And I want to give a brief shout out to our people up in the UK. Because we have, yes, our UK, our European listeners from Mintwave Radio. So shout out to you guys. So, Albin, tell the people, who are you, where are you from, and what do you do?
Man. First off, shout out to RP Nation. I am an educator in Brooklyn, New York. I am a teacher. I am a son. I am a brother. I'm just a young man trying to figure it out and just help young people figure it out as well. So I'm just a people person. I'm a person for the people, I guess. I'm a little nervous, but no. I'm here, man. I'm just trying to figure it out. Educator in Brooklyn. Brooklyn resident of my life. I got a lot to say.
All right. And he does have a lot to say, guys, because I've talked to him offline on a few occasions, and he does have a lot to say. So for those of you who might be wondering, is he going to have the same energy? Is he going to be able to bring something to the table? He definitely will, because I wouldn't have anybody, just anybody on this show. So you guys already know. So today we have a couple of things that we wanted to talk about. A lot of things that have been brewing in the interwebs and the Instagrams, Facebooks, and all this other stuff. So Albin... I know there's a couple things you wanted to talk about. So what's the first thing you want to talk about today?
Well, I mean, the biggest thing right now, the elephant in the room, it will be some really good news about the student loan postponement. Good and bad, I'm assuming, you know, depending on how you look at it. But definitely good for some people that want to clear up some things before they start jumping back into the federal loan payment game. I would say, and I'm a big proponent of just canceling these student loans outright. I'm pretty sure I'm not the only one here that would want it. But I do appreciate the postponement. Give me some more time to kind of clear up some things and actually just kind of get rid of this debt. I mean, you know, come on. This is it's time. We got to cancel this thing out. That's what I believe.
I agree with you there. I mean, to be very honest, when Sleepy Joe Biden, let's go Brandon. When he was, Joe, you know, Biden. Joe Biden.
Bing bong.
When he, you know, when he was putting his platform together and he was, you know, making all these promises, I can't say that I was like, oh man, he's going to be the one to do it, right? But I thought that something would be done. Not just these pauses, but maybe suspension of interest rates or something. Right. I feel like, you know, something would have been done. Many people did believe that he would cancel the student loans. They really did believe that he would do it. They thought that he would have the foresight that he had, you know, I guess the progressiveness maybe of Elizabeth Warren. I don't know.
Or like my son Bernie.
Right. But energy. He played us. Him and Kamala played us.
It was crazy because, you know, it was crazy because like when they were running for office, I'll see people like having baby pictures of her on their shirt. Right. Like, people jacking it mad hard. I'm just looking at y'all like, yo, like, y'all don't really know what's about to happen. Like, no. She's about to violate all of us. Like, this is the game.
So. And she is violating. I mean, yeah. She showed up, what was it, last week? She showed up after being in hiding or undercover for God knows how many months, maybe even a whole year, right? Yeah. And she came on talking about this plan that she's so excited about to remove lead from pipes. She stepped into the shade room for this. Like, it was so monumental for her that she stepped into the shade room for this announcement and how it's going to create so many jobs. And she's like, the kids. And it's crazy because I love the comments in the shade room. And they were just like, this is what you came back for? Like, you were gone all this time? Right.
And it's so like counter, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like she's talking to like a classroom of kids. It's like, no, like, if you do certain things, we'll be happy. But you said you were going to do those things and you're not doing it. And it's like, you duped us. And
right.
You look like us. So it's a double negative. I don't think the Dems are going to win anything this upcoming election. I mean, the Republicans are not playing. It's looking like, you know, especially this guy Manchin, he blocked that whole domestic agenda. So, and he's a Dem. So it's like,
but why
it's a mess.
Charlemagne, did you see that? Sir Charlemagne was like, who's the president? Joe Manchin Joe Biden?
The biggest thing with that was the woman trying to get her off of the camera because the questions were getting real. That was the biggest thing. And I could hear her voice. I'm like, oh, this isn't like, I think this was a sister.
Yeah, you know, and Charlamagne, she was a sister, first of all. So that's the part that was even more like, first of all, sister.
Yeah.
Like, you see what's happening and you're trying to jump in here. But I guess she's like, listen, I need to keep my job.
Of course.
I need to keep my job. But Charlamagne wasn't having it. He was like, she could hear me. She could hear me.
But what also with that, as far as we're talking about positions, I've been hearing a lot of people quitting that from her, like, administration. There's been people leaving, black women leaving. Some of them are saying, you know, like, yo, I just want more of a work-life balance. But it may just be a sign of the times. Like, people just don't bang with y'all because you said y'all were going to do something and it can't get done. Like, I get it, right? Like, you know, in order to get in the office, you got to promise a whole bunch of things.
Right.
But then once you're in the office, that's what comes into political acumen. Can you get it done?
Do
you
know
who to talk to? Can you shake that hand?
Mm-hmm.
Who? Or if you can't, who can you send in that place to get it done? That's really what it is. But I think the biggest thing we always have to remember is that this is America and this is a capitalistic society. Everything is for sale.
Right.
So we can sit here and preach and all that stuff. If I do all that, the biggest thing I'm going to get is a speed bump of flatlands.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what I need. I need you to cancel these student loans
because
you told me to go to school. I'll get a job. I'll be able to take care of my family. But this little thing, I didn't have the bread. I ain't have it. So I had to take it out. I had to borrow it. So it's a thing, man, but we'll see, man. I just got my popcorn. I'm ready. We'll see.
You had also sent me an article during the week with respect to the student loan thing again and how if Biden were to cancel student loans, like, it would create significant wealth in the black community. Yep. Wasn't like a number like 40% or something? 40%.
If, and I'm saying this to praying it, if Biden canceled all student loan debt, that would increase the black household wealth by 40%. That means we're close to an equal landscape. We're like, yo, I could do the same thing you can do.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like, you know, when you really look back at it, it looks like a little bit of a quagmire, right? You told me in order to get ahead, I had to go to school. Well, I did that. I did it. I was in the same classroom with y'all. Now I can't afford to pay this debt. And now everybody else is just flying, living high, buying properties, buying buildings, buying all the Flatbush. And I can't do it because I got to pay the student loan debt and it's affecting my credit score. It's a lot, and it's something that needs to be resolved. But the underlying theme here is if they do cancel it, we're up again.
Right.
And now we could play.
And I guess at the end of the day, though, if you're really looking at it through a certain lens, what some people would say is they don't want us to play.
Oh, no.
They don't want us to get up. And that's why this is a way that they're holding us down.
Yeah, they don't want ancient Africa back. You know what I'm saying? They don't want the Mansa Musa on American soil. You know what I'm saying? We're going to do it so dirty. We freeing everybody.
We freeing everybody. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I will say, though, even though him extending it till May, it's like, whatever, I'll accept it for now. I'm not going to say no. I'll accept it until May. And like you said, you know, it does give us some time to figure out because, you know what, I might need to get a side hustle then to pay for these loans. Like, if I still got to pay for them, give me some more time to get a side hustle together. This side hustle will be paying, you know, Navian and whoever the hell them sisters are and call it a day. Because they're always changing names. It's not even Navian anymore. I think it's like add something. thing now. I have a new loan provider.
I want to know. But like, I also hear that they're changing the servicer as well in 2022. So we're not going to go through federal student aid. It's going to be some other new joint. It's a lot of things going on. There was a meme that was circulating saying that when Kamala found out Joe Biden was president.
Yeah.
But they put on top like, yo, they say they're not paying Joe.
Yeah, I saw that. I sent it to a couple of my friends.
We ain't paying none of that.
I mean, listen, when I saw that they were extending it to May, I was like, oh, okay. I'm like, that's great because you guys weren't going to get it in February anyways.
Unfortunately.
You weren't going to get it anyways.
Yeah, like we not, listen, man, that's, come on now. Oh, act right. We ain't paying that back.
They don't want to act right. And I'm just like, my mother, you know, my mother always says, you know, Rita, don't stress about these student loans. Jesus is on his way. Like, Jesus is coming. You sitting here stressing about what's going on with these student loans. She was like, you know, listen, I will die happily with my student loans. I ain't got no problem with that. I don't let that make me skip a beat at all.
Your mother got student loans?
Yeah, because my mother has a master's degree. So nice. she took a little bit, and her loans are nowhere compared to like our loans. Yeah, yeah. But she still has some loans, and she's like, I'm not paying that. She's like, Jesus is at the door. She's like, I'm gonna let Jesus deal with the loans.
Shout out to moms.
Listen, I'm like, you know, I mean, at her tender age of like 70 something years old, you know, she can make these statements, right? I still got a long ways to go.
Exactly. I know. Yeah, it's like you're on the phone with the person, like, yo, I'm not paying it because Jesus is coming back.
Right.
And like, lady, it's due tomorrow. Like, I don't
seriously
know.
She's probably like, I'm in my 70s. Like, come get me. Like, what are you going to do? Right, me, on the other hand, I mean, I can't really, you know, make those same statements. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, all right. Well, yeah, no, I mean, listen, these elderly people can do these things. They can be this bold. They can make these statements. Like, they can tell you, you know, go to hell, I'm not doing this. Right. And then it's fine.
It's true. Shout out to them. That boldness. But I just think they're over it.
No, like, they're over it.
Yeah, like, I'm not sugarcoating anything anymore. No.
Like, why would I do that?
Yeah, like, I never liked you. Like, I never liked you. I never liked the food. Like,
I mean, my mother gets, I mean, the other day I was dealing with some Medicare, you know, the enrollment periods and stuff have been coming up, and the aggressiveness that these adults have on the phone. And because I have to be there, because, you know, I am the English speaking one, even though she speaks English, but, you know, she's like, at this age, I can't be processing two languages. So she's like, get on the phone. But like, the amount of like anger and aggression that they give to these like representatives, I feel for the representatives. Yeah. My mom is just like aggressive for no reason over the phone because she feels like she can.
Yeah, I see it daily with my mom and my pops. You know, shout out to them. They're done. They're like, yo, I need it like this. I don't know what you're saying.
They're so over it.
And they'll just be mad rude with the lady.
Like, I have to apologize to them, because my mom, it was something where we were going through the Medicare plan, and I was like, all right, you know, we'll get you something that's much like a better premium, Medicare Advantage, right? And so the lady's like, okay, well, let's go to the payment portion. Are we going to be taking this out of a checking account, like for your premiums? Maybe we deduct it from Social Security. Mom was like, do not touch my Social Security. Like, and the lady was like, yo, my mother spazzed on her. When she said Social Security, she was like, do not touch my. I was like, ma'am, is there an alternative form of payment? I apologize.
Shout out to moms. Yo. Nah, be like that.
Yo. They just be mad, like, they don't care. And then, like, the prompt clearly said, you know, she had to listen to all of this stuff to, like, acknowledge whatever. It says, like, you know, you have to understand. So now it gets to the end of the prompt, and the lady's like, okay, did you understand everything that was said? Can we proceed? I was like, in Creole, she's like, I don't know what the hell this thing just said. She's like, Rita, just say yes. And I'm like, you can't do that. Yeah, like, we're on a recorded line.
It's bad. It's bad. And it's going to get worse.
It's only going to get worse. Yeah. It's only going to get worse. I mean, you had a little preview earlier today about what happens in the Bichotte household.
It's all good. No judgment.
Oh, my gosh.
I've seen all of that, man. You're just living in a Haitian household.
It's entertaining, though.
It's very entertaining. It's very shady.
Very
entertaining.
Shady. Very clandestine.
Yeah, like.
Secretive.
Yeah, like, just talking about you right in front of you, like.
No problem.
It's like, oh, lady.
Disrespectful.
Like, I heard you.
Yeah.
Like,
no, I'm here.
Yeah, like, I'm right next to you. Like, I know exactly what you said. Like,
no, they don't care. They don't care. They don't care. Yeah, and you know what? I aspire to be there one day. I aspire to get to that level of I don't care-ness one day. I hope that I'm alive to see it. I hope that I'm alive to get to the point where I can be like my mother.
And just also be in a situation where, like, I can afford to do all that.
Right.
Like, just be really comfortable and be like, you know, you got the kid in college or the kid married or whatever.
Right.
You're with whoever, like, you're able to just, like, hold it down and just be able to financially provide and just be like, yo, I did the work. I'm retired. Where's my stuff?
And like, that's it, right?
Let's get real gully.
Who gonna check me, boo?
Yeah. That's really the point. That's really where everybody wants to be. Is like, yo, like, you can't say nothing to me.
Right.
Like, I'm gonna do it my way. So
that's where I'm trying to get in life. Yeah. Who gonna check me, boo? That's where I'm trying to get in life.
We always getting checked out here. We always, you know what I mean?
Especially as people of color, as black people, always being questioned. I saw a post the other day from a woman that was on one of my Frida's World shows where she went on vacation and then these white people were like, so what brings you here? And she's just like, vacation. Like, what do you mean? Like, I'm in a bikini, I'm on the beach, and you have the audacity to ask me what brings me here? Vacation.
Yeah, I think, I don't know. I don't want to say it on the mic, but like, yeah, I have a way. Because the thing that I always carry with me is like, I'm just a big black guy with a beard, right?
Right.
So people have like these misconstrued, like people think like, you know, I'm some like ex-football player. And like, you know,
I would say bouncer.
Bouncer. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I can't even go to back at Woodland. Like, they would like look at me like, yo, like, you know, God forbid I wore a black tee. You know what I'm saying? Like,
it's over for you.
They'll just be on me. So I just always kind of got like this vibe like, yo, like, I can't talk to him. Like, he's like very, you know what I mean? Whatever. Mm-hmm. I just really just be chilling. Like, I just really be like, yo.
He's like, come say hi to me. I'm friendly.
Yeah, like, I just be like, yo, like, chill. Like, I don't do nothing. I'm just in the corner, like, yo, just chilling. And then people just be like, yo, like, are you, like, they do like this bench pressing thing. They be like, yo, how much do you press? I'm like, oh, bro, like, get out of my face.
With the arms and everything?
Yeah, like, they're like, yo, do you? I'm like, no, bro, like, leave me alone, man. Like, I'm just here to, like, listen to Jay-Z and, like, sip this margarita real quick, you know what I mean?
Interesting. Yeah. Margarita, sipping the margarita.
Oh, yeah.
So
my joint.
That lets you know that, guys, he is friendly. He's not sipping on nothing hard.
If you see me out, I'm sipping on wine or margarita.
That just tells me you're a teddy bear.
Chill. You gonna get these people inside. Chill, you gotta chill. You gonna get them excited. Chill.
We don't wanna get them excited. All right, not yet. Give them some time to build up to the excitement. All right.
Know what it is. Get me in trouble, man. Chill out, man. It's all good.
I'm not trying to get you in trouble. Guys, retreat.
It's all good.
So Omarion variant. I keep saying Omarion virus, Omarion variant, but it's Omicron.
It's Omicron.
It's the Omicron variant that's been, you know, percolating in these streets. I mean, Black Twitter, God bless them, but they definitely have an effect on me. Like, I cannot even, I was in a work meeting calling it the Omarion variant. Like, that's how
it's
bad.
It's just a very convenient way.
It's convenient. And then because I'm always talking about how, you know, COVID's pop locking and dropping, I'm like, B2K is back on the scene. Omarion is out here pop locking and dropping with all of us. But in all seriousness, apparently, this variant is the most contagious out of all of them. We thought we had a problem with Delta. Now it's like, no, Omicron is like 15 times, 20 times, 70 times more contagious than the Delta. However, though, what I am noticing is that it's not as harmful, if that's the word. Like, people who catch it have like the sniffles, and these are both vaccinated and unvaccinated people. They have the sniffles. It's like they have a cold, so it's not like people are talking about, oh, my chest, oh, my heart. At least that's what I've been hearing. So I don't know what has been your Omicron variant experience, because New York City is not playing games. Like, they're shutting shit down, they're canceling events, and pretty much everyone that has had a large gathering, like, you know, office party within the last couple of weeks, there was either canceled, or if they had it, there was like emails,
get
like
tested.
somebody was positive.
It's a real thing. I am personally vaccinated, double vax. I didn't get the booster.
You didn't get triple vax yet?
I didn't get triple. I'm double. It's a real thing, and I'm talking from a person that actually had it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was in a hospital with pneumonia.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Pneumonia? Yeah, pneumonia. Mm-hmm. with COVID, and like, you know, it was just a very scary thing because I caught it in March. That's when it just started. So nobody knew what this was. So I'm looking at the doctor. I'm like, yo, straight up, like, am I going to die? And the doctor's like, yo, I don't know. Right. So like, and every time like they would come in to see me, it would be like double glass doors and like they'll come in with the whole garb. Like,
right. The spacesuit.
Yeah. So it was a very trippy time. I don't take this lightly, even though we do call it Omarion. It is a very serious thing, and I just want everybody to really be safe and just really be careful. It is a very serious thing. I'm really hoping that we get from under this. I can't lie. Some things, some aspects of this whole thing, it sound a little bit more like a plandemic. I'm thinking about the profit margins here.
Right.
Pfizer made like 36 Bs off of this last year.
Well, you know that Pfizer just got approved for a COVID pill.
Right. I mean, there's people eating outside off this thing.
No. Yeah.
So it's kind of like, what I'm just thinking bigger picture here. You know, right. What I mean? So I know it's serious. It's a real thing, but there's just some hints of like I'm still a little bit more of the conspiracy thing. Like, what's really going on here?
Right. Know? There's an aspect to it, and I totally agree with you. I always start off by telling people I'm not a conspiracy theorist. However, I feel like there's always a sliver of truth to something, right? Yeah. Always a sliver of truth. And I can't really look past the profit margin that's been made. I mean, as somebody who follows stocks.
36 Bs.
Listen, and that's Pfizer. Freaking Moderna.
Only. Yeah.
Moderna stock was going crazy at one point this year. Yeah. And then you had Novavax. You had, you know, BioNTech or whatever. So you had all of these, like, vaccine-specific, you know, stocks in a sense that were literally going crazy, right? And then now there's this push like, okay, we got to get our booster now, right? And people still don't understand the science. Like, they still don't know how long your double dose like lasts for, right? So now they're like telling you, oh, just be safe and get this booster. But it's like there's so much uncertainty. And I get it. Like, science is never 100% perfect. But you know, people who are really deep in the conspiracy theory rabbit hole, though, they're like, listen, they were trying to get all these mandates. Things weren't really going the way they needed it to go. Then all of a sudden, Omicron comes out, extra contagious. Now they feel like they've been able to use this to get whatever they couldn't get past before, they're getting it past now.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's a lot of that. But I don't want to be insensitive to the people that we've lost due to this thing. And shout out to them, you know, rest in peace.
This is the stuff that makes it difficult, right? Yeah. To really be able to. But I think at the end of the day, though, it could be both. It could still be a pandemic and actually still, you know, be this other thing, right? Like, I for somebody who also had COVID pretty bad, like, I can't. When people are like, is it real? I'm like, bruh.
It's very real.
It's very real. I had it.
Can't
like,
breathe.
Yeah, like, it's not. And then I'm still actually having, I still have some residual issues from the COVID, right? There's still, like, this distorted smell thing that I get every single day. Like, I can't, it drives me crazy sometimes. But that's a result of, like, long haul.
Yeah.
Like, I can't get rid of that.
It's a very serious time. I mean, we're living in just unprecedented times with this whole thing. I'm just praying for safety for all and just be very serious. With that being said, did you return your ticket to Quantacrawl or no?
First of all, I did not even purchase a ticket.
Is Quantacrawl still going on? We got to hear from the people. Who's still going to Quantacrawl?
This is something that needs to be, we need to get to this ASAP, Rocky, because we were talking about this. So COVID is out here. Omicron is pop locking and dropping with everybody, with grandma. Like, it's every, like, you can't even really even go to a restaurant so much anymore because they're saying it's in the air. Like, people are catching it just from going to a restaurant, right? Indoor restaurant. So it's out here. These large events for the last couple of weeks have, you know, slowly been getting canceled. Like, Broadway is like canceled for a while. And I think some other indoor events, the city was like, we're not doing it. We're not having it. Not on our watch. But Quantacrawl, I can never say this thing right.
Not to cut you off, Quantacrawl is a movie.
Quantacrawl is a movie. It's a lit. I think 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago, I started the crawl.
That's
I went to like two locations, but they were literally back to back, like literally next door to each other. So I wasn't a full crawler, yeah. But I did do a Kwanzaa crawl. I started it. So I understand. I know the crowd that goes out to Kwanzaa crawl. Yeah. I know these people. I mean, very dope people, eclectic people, sure. Beautiful people, black, right? Beautiful people. Black people, yeah. Millennials, Gen Zs and XYs and whatever. Yeah. However, this year, I think you had confirmed that Kwanzaa Crawl is sold out.
Sold out in Brooklyn.
Sold out in Brooklyn. Tickets, you can't, like, you have to know somebody to get in.
Yeah.
My question, with all of these shutdowns taking place, with the city like shutting down Broadway and some of these like major money makers for the holiday,
right.
Who is going and knowing how contagious Omicron is, because literally like everybody I know now like has like Omicron because they went to some sort of like family function or whatever. Who is going to Kwanzaa Crawl?
I think, yeah, that's a great question. If I purchase my ticket, I'm going.
Did you purchase a ticket?
I didn't purchase a ticket.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm a little.
I did not purchase a ticket either because.
No, but if I purchase a ticket, I'm going until they tell me like it's canceled. But I don't even see that we're going to hear something in the next few hours or tomorrow to hear if like it's been canceled.
My thing is, if you are still a ticket holder of the Kwanzaa Crawl in light of everything that's happening right now, my question to the general public is. And we did use this word on the Haitian Creole word or phrase of the week, epav, meaning you out here in these streets.
Crushing people right now.
In these streets, epav. You have no home. You out here slithering in these streets. if you get twisted and slithering, you know, a vagrant, as some might say, parents might, equivalent to a vagrant.
I wouldn't say vagrant. I mean,
some of our parents would equate that to a vagrant,
for
right?
Sure, for sure.
If you are the holder at this moment, if you are the holder of a Kwanzaa Crawl ticket and you are still planning on going to Kwanzaa Crawl, the question is, are you an epav? Is this person an epav?
Of course they're not an IPOP. No, they're not.
How are they not an IPOP?
They're not an IPOP, man.
How are they not
they're
an IPOP?
They sip on.
Omarion and B2K is like popping and locking in these streets. You breathe and you're catching Omicron. Like, this is not Delta. This is not Epsilon. This is not, I don't know, Alpha. I don't know what other Beta.
I think a part of me thinks like it's either going to get modified or it's going to get canceled. I think that's what's going to happen because, you know, we're talking about Broadway. They even talking about shortening the lighting ceremony as well for New Year's. If they're moving like that as a city, then I don't think the Kwanzaa Crawl thing is going to last too long. But
it needs to be shut down, period.
It needs to be
shut down. And listen,
I'm never going to hate on a black organization getting their bread.
Nah.
Like they're doing their thing.
Not when you're going to be super spreader event. Super spreader event.
We don't know what happened.
Listen, it's one thing. I'm all here for the black dollar, right? I'm all here because, listen, black people getting together. And we need it, right? I'm not going to say we don't need it. We need this community because we have been detached for so long.
Yeah.
If Omarion / Omicron was not a thing, I would say, listen, yes, we're still in La Covida Maria, as I like to call it. But I would still be like, okay, fine. Just guys, double mask, KN95, do what you got to do. I don't know.
Yeah.
But we literally, like, their schools are going, like, today was remote learning.
Yeah,
for certain, you know, for schools.
Right,
like this is like another shutdown on the way.
I heard Newark schools is preparing to get shut down.
Right.
In Newark.
So with all of that being, like, it's for crazy. Important institutions like education,
right.
Considering shutdowns, the bars are like, nah, we're going to get this on and popping.
You're absolutely right. Even to piggyback on that, the incoming chancellor for New York City, I believe, is David E. Banks.
Yes.
I believe. He actually is, I saw it on Chalkbeat. He's actually, Chalkbeat is a policy newsletter for like educators. So he's actually thinking about bringing back the remote learning option back.
You see what I'm saying?
So it's looking like, you know, if things don't work out, we might be heading back in. Which is, I'm like indifferent with that, but I don't know.
I don't want that to happen because psychologically speaking, it was not good for any of us, right? Even for those of us who are introverts and who like to be home. Like me, I'm an introvert, extrovert. I'm a, antisocial, socialite. I like to be home. I like to be out when I choose to be out. But when you tell me I can't be out, and the spirit is saying, I want to be out, right. It becomes a problem. So I think psychologically speaking, mental health speaking or whatever, it is a problem. Especially the holidays. I know a lot of people were waiting to be like, ooh, I'm going to spend time with grandma. I'm going to spend time with my family, my, you know, whatever during the holidays. So to have it snatched away is a problem.
It's a big problem. Right. It's a problem I don't want to have. You know, not to get spiritual, the Bible says to pray for the leaders. So mm-hmm. That's just what I'm going to do. I'm going to stay in my lane and just send out my prayers for whoever has to deal with this issue head on.
No, you have to.
And just try to keep my health intact because there's just a lot of people losing it.
You know right. I mean?
But shout out to Kwanzaa Kroll. Shout out to all the participants. Just be super safe out there.
Shout out to Kwanzaa Kroll. Please cancel. Please cancel.
Nah, Kwanzaa. Black dollar.
Kwanzaa Kroll, find another way to get your money, but keep these people safe. Because you know why I say that they need to cancel it? People are not responsible. And when it comes to this COVID thing, you know, at some point there is a collective aspect of it, right? And I remember, I think I had sent you this thing on Instagram or you sent it to me. But basically, you know, this, who was it? Was it Alexis Skye? She posted something on Instagram basically saying testing positive for COVID and still going outside because you can't miss a link really is disgusting and selfish. And I don't know what's wrong with people. And this is true. And I gave you, and I had given you a personal example, not from my family, thank God, because we know better, but from one of my friends, family, where there was known COVID people, like positive, like they knew they were positive. People knew they were positive. Like, nah, we go into the family function. We're not coughing anymore. And then that's that. And that's selfish because no, like you are positive and you're inserting yourself at a family function where now everybody, if they, it's either they come and they're like scared to death or like stay your ass at home. You are like, you are known positive, not suspected positive. You're known positive. And I think that's the fear with these events like Kwanzaa Kroll and even these office parties where people tested positive after the fact, right? People know they have COVID, but because they're like, oh, I'm asymptomatic. They're like, I'm going to go anyways because they don't want the FOMO. They want to be out here in these streets. They want to be like taking pictures for the gram, you know, Kwanzaa Kroll 2021. They're not thinking about anybody but themselves because they want to be out there. And that's why I think it's important for, you know, these organizations and these creators to have to be the one to pull the plug because people are, if you leave it up to the individuals, a lot of them are not responsible. They want to be out here.
That's true. I totally agree. You know, there is a lot of selfishness going on. And you're right. I mean, you know, it looks like somebody may have to just intervene and just may have to pull the plug. And I don't think, you know, it does suck, but should be interesting in the next few days to see what happens.
Yeah. I mean, I wish people were responsible, but unfortunately.
Yeah, inherently. Instinctively, we're self first. So
right,
yeah. So
you know,
I can get my sip on while going to the grills. I'm gonna do it.
Listen.
But everybody's outside. Right, like and every lit person in Brooklyn is outside.
People want to be, and I get it. People want to be outside, but my prayer is that summer 2022. That I'm not saying that we're gonna be 100%, right? Because I don't think that's ever gonna be a thing anymore. Whatever normal was beforehand, like that's nostalgia. We just gonna have to look at our Facebook feeds and be like, oh man, that time, you know?
It's crazy.
Yeah, but I'm hoping that summer 22, that's what I'm preparing for. I'm preparing for summer 22 to be a movie. A movie that does not require me to like, you know, I don't know. COVID's still gonna be here, but hopefully it's not here the way it was like from before. Because with this Omicron, they're saying that these variants seem to be getting weaker and weaker. So yeah, we're catching it. So I'm hoping that it gets to the point with like the common cold where you catch it, you get over it, that's it.
It's looking like that. I just think with this country, you never know.
Right, because it's a pandemic.
Yeah, you never know.
It's a pandemic.
And it's just so, if you really sit down and sick, it's like, man, like I have to create a public health a world issue to like just make a few dollars for a few people. How much power does Wall Street and these big corporations have over America? It's something to think about. Like, you know.
Well, here's my thing. If Biden don't want to cancel these loans, can Wall Street cancel these loans? Like, can somebody cancel these loans?
It's crazy. Yeah. I mean, Wall Street was bailed out. Wall Street, and that was billions, like trillions, they bailed them out. You know what I mean? And they didn't even get a slap on the wrist.
They just don't want to see us win, Alvin. At this point, I'm praying to find the duffel bag on the floor. I've been having this vision. Listen, I can't limit God. I can't limit God. I've had this vision that I would stumble on a duffel bag. I even know the corner where I'm finding it too. Like, it's like vivid in my mind. Like, I'm getting the duffel bag. I'm just praying that the duffel bag, you know, was not like from one of those armored trucks where they got serial numbers. I'm hoping it was a drug deal gone wrong. That's what I'm hoping. Listen, like, you know.
No comment.
I mean, listen, I got to put it out there. I'm like, listen, however the money is found, you know, like.
Yeah, it's needed. Cancel student loans and reopen Woodland, please. I mean, come on.
You in this damn Woodland. Oh, my God.
Woodland?
Oh, my God.
Nah.
Not during COVID. Maybe in 3 years from now. Maybe 4 years from now. You this damn
next year. Open that back Woodland. Up. That was a yo, bro.
Woodland was. I already had this conversation with you about Woodland. Woodland. Movie. Woodland was. Yeah, but movie. You know what? When I'm going out with my girls to go get a brunch, I need to be able to have a conversation.
Should go to Pecan across the street.
I think is it Pecan shut down now? I feel like they shut down.
I don't know.
I think COVID got rid of them.
Either you do the Pecan
because they were cash only, and it was after a while it was.
Yeah,
annoying.
That's crazy. Like, if you either do Pecan or you could do the Combit. You know what I mean?
Combit. Yeah. Nah, son. Who's eating that corned beef? Nah, son.
You gonna shade corned beef?
I am gonna shade corned beef. Let me tell you. Back in the day, I'm gonna shade corned beef. I got time. Back in the day, corned beef was the spot. A lot of us went to corned beef. When I say back in the day, I'm talking about like 2004, 2005. That's like, this is a long ass time ago. Okay, yeah. Corned beef was the spot. Even though they were always rude in their service, but their food was good. People went and they had little music. It was cool. Like, I was always in a corned beef. However, in the last maybe even like 4 years, I would say maybe even five, I've heard nobody really talk about a corned beef. Every time I walk by, it doesn't look like anybody's inside. At one point, I'm like, are they shut down? Are they still in operation? Like, what is going on? Nobody and their mother has talked about a corned beef in a while.
Did you ever do La Kai?
I've been to La Kai. Their food was okay. It wasn't the best. Because I feel like they were catering to the community, right? Like, they were gentrified. Right. And so they were giving gentrified Haitian food. It wasn't authentic.
Oh, so you want that cows.
Even though cows has an issue with, you know, the health department.
I love cows.
Cows was shut down every other week from the health department.
Yeah, man. So what's a spot I can get some decent... You know
see,
I mean?
This
like
is the
from.
Thing.
I mean,
see, this is the problem, because a lot of these places, it's like you got to take one over. Like, there's always like one thing. So, for example, Zummy, everybody's like, oh, Zummy is a good vibe.
Yeah.
Zummy, I think, is some of them are still the owners from La Kai, though. Mm. It's the same BS.
Come on, man.
No, the drinks, it's a good vibe because they have the good, you know, they have the live music in the summer. Yeah. Like, it's a good vibe right there in Crown Heights. Yeah. Good vibe. However, I had ordered, and maybe this was a fluke of the day or of the week. I ordered a legume. My legume had raw carrots in it. I don't know what style of Haitian cuisine that is, but legume, which is really like a mash of like vegetables, stewed vegetables, does not have raw carrots in it. That's number one. Number two, I ordered a jiri jon jon, mushroom. Some people call it black rice, mushroom rice, whatever.
Classic.
There were no peas in the rice. Okay, fine. There are no peas. Maybe that's not your style. Why was there parsley chopped throughout? It wasn't a garnish. There was every bite was parsley in it. What is this? I don't understand. So for me, I haven't had their entire menu. Usually I like to be able to give a more in-depth review when I've had like the entire menu or the majority of the menu. I did not have most of their menu. But my thing is, these two items were critical staples. Legume, black rice. If you are effing up legume and black rice,
you lost your card.
I'm sorry.
You
can't vouch for you.
I got you. You did the Grand Champs? Grand Champ?
I went to Grand Champs years ago. I've had them a few times. Yeah, their food's not bad, but I can't say that I would, if somebody says, yo, give me a Haitian restaurant, I would not say, let's go to Grand Champs.
I wasn't feeling it.
Yeah. No. It wasn't bad, though. It wasn't bad. I would say Haitian restaurant in Brooklyn. Where could we go? Where could we go? Where could we go? There was a time Taste of the City on Flatbush near Glenwood or whatever, East 26, was good. However, I don't know who's in the kitchen now. It's not the same story. So it's not the same story. Chloe's has good fritay. Chloe's in Canarsie.
Yes.
Chloe's is, I'm not saying the whole menu is good, but I'm saying though, if you are talking about authentic fritay, when I was eating goat, when I was eating meat, there was nothing compared to that goat.
Chloe, like,
it's like a fusion though.
Like it's, I live around there, but I've only been in there like once or twice.
So the fritay, order
it's too mixy. And like, it's really in my neighborhood. So like, I don't want to bump into somebody then it turns into a thing. Like,
no, it is mixy. That's why I ordered it to go. I didn't sit in, you know, whatever. I ordered it to go, but their fritay was amazing. Oh, like I'm still thinking about it. I don't even eat meat. So good. So in Queens, there's a lot of good Haitian restaurants. Mm. Queens. And even though I'm not a big fan of the borough, the Haitian Food Network in Queens, I will say, is on point. You know, Brassi Creole is a really good restaurant. I don't know. I can't say of now if it's like the best, but it was really good at its peak. Good Taste. They had a Good Taste there. They have a Good Taste now in Canarsie, though. Mm. They recently opened a Good Taste.
Oh, wow.
I heard the food is good. So that might be the next like go-to Haitian spot, Good Taste. But Queens, I would probably say hands down had the best Haitian food.
I gotta check out the scene.
Yeah.
I gotta check out the scene.
The Queens Haitian food, like even the mom and pop on the block, Linden Boulevard,
yeah.
I'm like foaming at the mouth for.
That's what's up.
Right. Right.
Yeah, we definitely need to start shouting out some of them spots.
We got a shot for a fee.
Low key, for
we're
real
not
though.
Giving free publicity here, okay? It's either you pay us in food or you pay us in dollars.
I'll take either or.
Listen, I don't discriminate here.
At all.
Oh, man. So I know there was one other thing we wanted to talk about today. There's a lot of stuff that was going on in the interwebs. Like Hold Instagram up. Was on fire this week. Hold but up. One of the biggest things that got people like shook, shocked, whatever, which I'm not really sure why, is the whole Megan Good and Devon Franklin divorce.
And so,
for those of you who don't know, and some of you men may feel salty after I expose this little tidbit. Uh-oh. This was the couple that came up with the book The Wait, that had all of these women hiding the cookie, locking up the box, wearing the chastity belts years.
I know Megan Good was involved with, and I'm pretty sure Devon was involved with the, what was it? Think Like a Man, Act Like a
Woman. I don't know if he was involved in that, but I know it was around that time when that movie came out. But they wrote, because I bought the book. I wanted to see what the hype was, this whole weight, you know, abstinence business or whatever. And as somebody who is a Christian, I believe in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is the ruler of my life. I'm not here to talk ill about abstinence. I think it's a personal choice, but I'm saying this book though came out to basically shove it down everybody's throat.
Yeah.
Like, oh, look at us. We're so happy. And we both waited. And it was like a fairy tale story. So you had women locking it up. Men couldn't but I'm talking about like not just like locking it up to strangers, because I do believe, like, you know, if I just met you, don't expect for me to be busting it wide open. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's not happening. But I'm talking about people who are actually in like relationships, where like, you know what I mean, like where maybe locking it up wasn't necessarily like they weren't locking it up because they wanted to. They were locking it up because of the hype of the book. I respect people who lock it up because they've made this personal decision. They've made this spiritual choice with their partner that this is what we are going to do. This is what we feel is going to be better for us. Maybe we've done it all the wrong way before, and let's try this. If somebody I was talking to came and told me that this is what their conviction, their pact with God was, I wouldn't be like, I'm out, deuces. But there were a lot of women and maybe men who were locking it up because of the hype of Megan Good and Devon Franklin.
Right.
And now, 9 years later, but many will say these people were like separated, divorced from even before, they are divorcing.
Yeah.
So now you see people like, oh my God, I can't believe this. I'm so shocked. One girl under the comments was like, and I actually like was abstinent for 2 years and I feel duped. And that's what I'm talking about. You didn't do it because of your personal connection. You did it because of them.
Right. I mean, yeah, I think I'm not married. I mean, you know what I mean? So I can't really speak to it. What I am seeing is a lot of men that I looked up to, you know what I mean, the community, the Haitian community, and they're going through a similar thing. And it's just kind of like I'm just seeing them kind of get decimated throughout this process. My question is, what is it about marriage and black people that's causing us to get divorced at these rates? Because I'm pretty sure, I mean, American marriages are 50% divorce rates. Like, why, what makes this so hard? You know what I'm saying? Like, why, like, before this, we were good. You know what I mean? We was out, we was chilling, doing this, doing that, da, da, da. But once we in that crib, Tuesday night, bill due, kid crying, kid in school, got whatever. What happened? I don't know.
I think social media definitely has a lot to do with it because now we're living in comparison territory, right? Like, I might have been good in my relationship. Like, I might have, like, we might have been doing well. But now I'm, like, looking at other people who are posting, you know, the only the positive or the nice aspects of their life. And so now I'm wondering, am I getting enough for my spouse? You know, and that my spouse might be like, am I getting enough from her? Because, like, you know, look at them. Like, this is what they're doing. Like, we're not doing that. Does that mean we're not, like, in a good marriage? So I think that's one.
Yeah, it's sounding like the app is bigger than God.
Right.
You know what I mean? That the Instagram is taking place as opposed to, like, where you go to God in prayer. We're going to the app and we're trying to compare. And people are headed for doom.
Like, right.
Yeah, by doing that. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Because I think some things were never an issue. Like, you probably didn't even care to do certain things or to whatever. But now it's like, oh, damn, but so-and-so. Like, look how, because people are not posting the losses. They're not posting the bad times. They're not giving you encouragement. Like, guys, me and my wife had a serious, like, argument today or disagreement today. But you know what? Like, we're married. We're in it. Like, people aren't doing that. They're only posting the positive stuff and the happy stuff and stuff that's not even, let me not even say positive, because it might not even be positive. They're just posting something and they're spinning it in a way where they're like, we're perfect. Like, there's nothing but perfection. But marriage is not perfection because we're not perfect as humans.
We're not. And I think you're absolutely right. I think there has to be a space for just having, like, really important conversations. And I think before you get there, you just have to be really clear and honest with yourself. Just be like, yo, is this something I want to do?
Right.
If so, know that when you sign this contract, I have to be intentional about this decision.
Right.
I have to show up every day. You know what I mean? And it has to be both sides. If somebody feels like tapping out, then you just gotta let me know. But like, it was my understanding that we're both gonna try this. We're both gonna do what needs to be done. Come hell or high water. And I just think people kind of tapping out because they're like, yo, I try my best and it's just not working.
Right.
So, I mean, it's something that I watch, I observe, I'm taking inventory of, and I'm just trying to not follow in those footsteps. I'm trying to have these conversations. I'm trying to just be very clear on different situations, where we are in life and just how we can move forward.
I think people are also not realistic, though.
They're not. No.
People are not realistic. And I have been guilty of this time and time again. So I'm, like, you know, a repeat offender when it comes to this. And I think that a lot of people are. We're not realistic when it comes to relationships. We're not looking at, I think, the bigger picture at times when we get into situations. I think that a lot of times flags are there for a reason. Like, you know, I had somebody tell me one time, like, oh, you keep, you know, harping on, like, the past or whatever. And it's like, no, I'm not harping on the past. You have to acknowledge the past in order to move forward. That's that whole Sankofa thing, right? Like, I'm a big proponent of that. The past informs your future. If somebody in your past had a particular behavioral pattern that was toxic, and you start to see it in the new person, I think for me, the right way wouldn't just be like, you're acting like my ex, you're doing this. I think it's to be vigilant and to have a conversation like.
No, that's smart, because the thing is, when we're in the workplace, we get mid-year evals.
Right.
So it's kind of like, yo, you sit down with your boss and your boss says, yo, this is what's working, this is what's not. How can I help you get to where all these things could work? That's just life, right? But you have to be in a position that's like, you know what? I want to keep this job.
Right.
I want to stay here. So whatever this woman or this gentleman tells me, I'm going to implement it. And I'm going to be on the tracker.
Or assess at least, right? Assess. At least assess. That's like, okay, she's telling me X or he's telling me Y. I hear you. However, right. there has to be, but what I realize in couples, and you know, when they talk about equally yoked, a lot of people focus on the religious aspect, like, oh, are you Baptist and Catholic, or are you Seventh-day Adventist and a Muslim? Right. It's not going to work. Yeah. Equally yoked, I think, goes for education level sometimes, intellect, station in life, culture. I think a lot of that falls into the equally yoked conversation, because a lot of us are not breaking up and having issues because I'm a Muslim and you're a Christian. The issues are like a lot of it, and when especially when it comes to, I think, the in the black women realm, is the intellect and education, right? So, not being on the same level.
So you think that's the biggest reason why people?
I think that's part of it. That's part. It could be part of it. Like for me, it's the equally yoked thing is not just about religion. It can be education versus an intellect, and maybe education is not even a question for some people. Intellect. We don't share the same ideologies, or communication, which is some people say would be the biggest, right? So me and you might not share the same ideologies, but because our communication might be to a level that's on point, we can still communicate. Okay, I don't believe in what you believe in per se. We don't have the same thought process, but we know how to navigate. We can still navigate life because we can communicate. We know when to say, you know what? Let's leave this conversation. We're not going to get there and right. move on. I think that people are not realistic with what they want, what they need when it comes to their partner. And sometimes we accept things that we know we should not.
Yeah, it gets very sticky. And I think just people needs to, it's such a serious thing, you know what I mean? And it's unfortunate that society kind of forces you and pushes you into mm-hmm. these institutions that you know deep down that you're not ready for, but you just listen to all these voices, all these right. different type of energies that you're kind of accepting. Some people just, and it goes back to what we were taught growing up in a Haitian household. Sometimes you just may need to go to a Zen. Fast, think about it, sit down, write it out.
Or therapy. I'm very, very big on therapy.
Therapy taboo or no?
Therapy, I think, is still a taboo. I know some people might want to move forward and say, no, we've gotten past it. No, I think therapy is still a taboo. And I think particularly in black men, I find that more, you will find more black women talking about, I have my therapist, I'm going to go to my therapist. Black men, especially those who are not of a particular intellect and educational level, because I do see a lot of my friends who, you know, who've been to college, who've been to school, they understand. But my people who are not necessarily in those spaces that are still like from the block or whatever, a lot of them don't see the need for it. They're like, we could just talk it out. We could just this. We could have a community powwow. They don't see it.
A nice talk it out is also therapeutic, too.
It's therapeutic. Yeah. But when we're talking about therapy, it's not just about, oh, we just get stuff off our chest. It's about understanding and identifying behavioral patterns that might have been cultivated from childhood that we might not even be aware. Like as a woman who's, you know, who's still single out here, you know, maybe one day get married or whatever, I can recognize because of therapy that, oh, I still have some like maybe communication things that I need to deal with. I would never know that from before.
I think you're absolutely right. My biggest thing is just the intention, right? Like I could sit down and tell you, yo, this is what's blocking you. But if you don't have the fortitude
right.
to look in the mirror and be like, yo, this is something I need to work on, it's never going to get done. And I just want people to kind of just step up to the plate and deal with whatever that right. thing is, because it's real out here.
But sometimes they can't. And that's why I push therapy so much, because therapists, if they're the right therapist, they'll know how to work you without you even know you're being worked. And that happened to me years ago. I remember when I was just blocked with anxiety, not understanding where it was coming from. I didn't even know this lady, the whole Jedi mind trick on me. I didn't even know. And I was able to get through obstacles and I didn't even realize that. I'm like, yo,
yeah.
You know what I mean? So sometimes with therapy, you do have to like kiss a couple of frogs before you find like the one that the works right one. For you.
Yeah.
But I think that that's what therapy does, because it it's that person is still like it's not like me to a friend like, yo, but how come you haven't done it yet though? You don't want to do it. The therapist is like analyzing you like, yeah, but you haven't done it. What, like, there's a deeper conversation that's there.
That sounds dope. I would love to. What I'm thinking now is I don't have a therapist right now, but
I'm gonna get you one. Listen, I'm like the candy man. I've been like out here hooking up everybody with therapists.
That's what's up. We'll talk offline. But I'm thinking more along of like, I would like a life coach, like somebody mm-hmm. like kind of tell you like, yo, like, think about this.
Right.
Well, I've never had the services of one, so I don't mm-hmm. really know even how it goes, but. Somebody kind of just check out your blind spots.
Right.
Yeah, I think that would be dope too.
Yeah. No, I think that that's like, you know, multiple is needed, right? I think that the therapy, especially with Black people, because we've dealt with so much trauma, they really deal with the trauma. Because some of us are out here operating and we don't even understand why we are doing what we're doing. Right. We don't know why we're angry. Why is that a trigger for me? Right. And that's where the therapist starts to peel back the onion. Cause they were like, I didn't know that I was like so messed up at one point until I was like, oh my God, my childhood was fucked up. Like this is, and that epiphany, because the therapist is not there to tell you, they lead you. And then you make that own realization like, oh my God, this is why, because my mother, and then it's like mind blowing. The life coach, I think, helps really guide you, because a lot of them, they'll say like, I am not a therapist, like I am not a mental health provider, I don't have that training, so I am not doing that with you. But they will listen and help you kind of like talk things out, maybe talk out your life goals, you know, things like. So I think that a combination of both, some therapists can do both and they are both, but I think that having a life coach, having a business coach, having a career coach,
just a coach in general,
a coach, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm down with that. Shout out to one of my coaches, Sam Pierre, and the good people over at Haitian American Caucus.
You and this damn shout out. I swear, listen, you know what it is though? I don't got a problem with that. You hit up the Haitian American Caucus people and tell them to write the check, because you always, because you always shouting them out. And Sam is my cousin, so I love him to death. But they need to write a check, because it's the second time.
He's slacking right now. I'm gonna let him know. But that's my
tell him to write the check.
Got you. Sorry about that. No free promo. Apologies.
Oh man. Yeah. I mean, I feel like we definitely talked about a lot of different things today. Yeah. And I feel like the viewers, I feel like they're going to grab something, right? Not everybody will take, you know, everything, but I feel like they'll take something. But I think that this was a good introduction as to where things can lead.
I think so too. You know, we spoke about student loan debt. Mm-hmm. We spoke about Omicron. We spoke about relationships. We spoke about therapy and life coaches. We spoke about Haitian restaurants.
Which came out of nowhere.
We spoke about reopening Woodland.
Oh my gosh. Woodland, write the check. Because Woodland.
All these different spots. It's good stuff. And it's stuff that's on the minds of a lot of 20, 30-year-olds living in this city.
Right. Like,
trying to figure it out.
Right. Yeah, there's definitely a lot more to come. You know, the randomness of these conversations. I love being random. Random is part of my life.
It just flows.
And sometimes you just have to let it flow, right? You can't always be so scripted.
No, yeah, you're right.
All right. Well, guys, this is Albin, Commissioner Boucher. Yep. The people's choice, I guess, right? It's the people's choice.
I can't argue with the people. I'm here to give the people what they want, man. I'm here. Talk to me. Let's do it.
The people's choice. So you guys are definitely going to hear him again on this show, you know, regularly, really. Thank you again for all of you guys who are tuning into According to RP on WJMS Media. Remember, like I told you guys last time, there's been some shifts, some changes. We are WJMS Media. So follow us on Instagram. Follow According to RP on Instagram. We're starting to get our stuff back in order where we're posting again.
Yeah.
The controversial posts are back up and running.
Oh, we down. Let's do it. Let's ruffle some feathers. We here. Yes. Responsibly, yes. Of course.
Responsibly
and respectfully. You know what I mean? Let's just put it on the table. Let's talk about it.
Exactly. It's all about conversation. You know, a lot of things can be resolved through conversation. Perspectives can be gained through conversation. Yeah. So that's what we're about. We put it out there. We have the conversation. We want you guys to think critically about the things that we say, even though we have some fun here.
Yeah.
But the conversations are still real conversations.
Definitely. And I think that's what everybody would want. You know what I mean? We experience so many things on like a train or like the bus or like even in traffic.
Mm-hmm.
Just let it out. So, yeah.
Right.
We're here to do that for you guys. Let's do it.
We're here. So again, guys, thank you so much. I hope you guys had an amazing Christmas day. New Year's is only about like, what, a week away. I know that a lot of you guys are just trying to think about what the next steps are going to be.
What's your New Year's resolution?
I don't really do resolutions.
Okay.
I'm not a resolution person because I feel like, I don't want to say it's too much pressure. I like to think about big picture. What I set is like, what are my goals for like the year, right? And I do like a deep dive. What went wrong the year before? What do I want to change? What do I want to enhance? The times where I've done New Year's resolutions, it hasn't really stuck. It's like, oh, I'm going to go to the gym and lose weight. And then like by February, I'm out. So I'm more so during this time, at the end of the year, I usually try to take time off from work and I sit and I like think about what do I want to see for the next year and then figure out different ways of implementing. So it's not my New Year's resolution, but it's just like my new year like plan in a sense. Dope. What about you?
You know, definitely along the same lines. I'm trying to nail this teacher certification thing. I'm trying to get that done. So I'm trying to get certified as a teacher. Definitely trying to improve my health a little bit. Mm-hmm. Want to lose some pounds. I think another New Year's thing I want to do is get back in church, man. Kind of want to get back in.
Get right with JC.
Get right with JC. You know, I think just being outside.
Oh, my God.
Just being outside for the past few years, I realized that you kind of need that anchor. So I'm not going to sit here and say I'm like going to be like a super...
You're not going to be an elder.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that. But I definitely want to pop out to a few more services. Yeah, and just kind of get back into the groove of that, because I do realize that outside can be an unforgiving place and you can really get lost out here.
There's a lot. Yes, you can.
I've been very lucky to not damage too many things. So I definitely want to kind of get that anchor back in my life. So yeah, I definitely want to go back to church, get that community back.
I feel you. You know, I am totally there with you because as somebody who was a big church goer myself, I find it to be a little difficult with this, you know, COVID thing, right? Yes, it's become a little difficult, but I've been trying to really stay as consistent as possible with the online. Yeah. Like, I'm Seventh-day Adventist, but I'm about the word, right? Yeah. If the word is coming out of a Sunday preacher and it's good, I'm going to gravitate to that. So CCC, I love Pastor
A.R. Bernard.
So like, I feel like it's like I resonate with his teachings. I resonate with his preaching. I just feel like he's talking to me every time, whether I'm in person or online. So I've been doing that. And then CWC, Pastor Abraham Jules, okay. He's an SDA pastor. Dope. I love attending his services. And then I think it's Darius, what's his last name? Man, but he's this like really big YouTube personality. But his first name is Darius. I can't remember his last name. Darius Jones. I don't know. So I've been really relying on like the YouTube churches for now.
YouTube churches.
I mean, you know, because that's where I'm getting that's the really service. Is, yeah. But I do feel you though. I think that in-person connection, you know, praise team.
Yeah, I'll pop out because, you know, if leave it up to me, if I'm in the crib with the service on, I'll probably turn into ESPN or something. You know what I'm saying? So I got to be in there. You know what I mean? I'll be maxed up, vaxxed up, do whatever I got to do to get in. But yeah, I definitely want to be in the population
in the presence of the Lord.
Yeah, I want to be with the saints.
House.
I got to be with the saints. It's wild out here.
I feel you. I mean, listen. The struggle is real.
It's
but you're still covered in the blood, despite.
Yeah, he tired of me though.
Listen,
I've been calling a lot of Hail Marys. You get tired. You're like, listen, you're like, you're gonna have to choose a side.
You can't be lukewarm, my brother.
Oh, no,
you
no,
can't
no.
be lukewarm in these
Spit
streets.
Me out. It's crazy. We're talking about Bible stuff here. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, that's what happens on this show. We talk about everything. Yeah. But yeah, and that's what I'm, you know, looking forward to. Like, I love. I mean, random is me. If anybody spent enough time with me, they'll know that I am a very, like, I could talk about anything. And so it's good to be able to have somebody that can also do the same. Oh, so, yeah. Albin, again, you know, round of applause for you, the
Appreciate
people's
that.
Choice.
Thank you.
And so, guys, thank you so much for tuning into another episode of According to RP on WJMS Media. It's your girl, Rita Pierre, and also your boy, Albin. I mean, I don't know what your tag name is going to be. You're going to be what? The commissioner? What you going to be on these streets?
Just call me Al. Don't make it too complicated.
Too complicated?
On IG is commissioner_Boucher.
Okay.
I'm just a regular dude from Brooklyn trying to figure it out.
Just trying to figure it out. I mean, we all out here in these
trying
streets.
Trying to get rich. That's all, man.
And I...
trying to get the bag.
I see you getting rich and I up that to whatever the next level is. And I bring that up.
We working.
All right, guys. So have a happy holidays, and I'll talk to you guys next week.
Keep the faith.
You were listening to According to RP on WJMS Radio.
About time you tuned in.
Tune in each and every Sunday. Can't wait to come back.